either turn in your Bible or with your iDevice, or it's in the bulletin as well. We'll continue our series on these seven churches out of the book of Revelation. Jesus still has a lot to say to his church. And again, as we're going through these, I want you to internalize it. So first, Lord, some of these qualities I'm looking at to this church in Thyatira this morning, are those qualities in me? And then also as a church, love, fellowship, we want to do a self-evaluation and say, Lord, we want to make sure we are on that good part of the list when he lists those good things. And if there are some things in our lives that we need to repent of, even as Minister Terman prayed, we know as we live this Christian life, what I'm experiencing, the closer I get to Christ, the more he begins to show me some stuff I'm doing right, yes, but he begins to show me, I begin to look at him and see some things in his life that I'm falling far short of. So there's always room to repent and to confess. Lord, forgive me for what I thought or what I said or what I did. And how many of y'all know he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness? I say he's faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Revelation chapter 2, and I'm just going to read it again in its entirety. As I often mention and stress and reiterate, the one of the things in scripture that we see that the Lord said we ought to do when we assemble together is the public reading of scripture, the public reading of the word of God. So really the most important thing I'm going to say this morning, I'm going to say about these next nine verses as Jesus speaks to our heart and mind this morning. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I have received from my Father, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. My thought this morning, simple topic, simple title, Thyatira, the corrupt church. Thyatira, the corrupt church. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thyatira, the corrupt church. The corrupt church. We know we dealt with a few weeks ago Ephesus, the church that had left its first love, the loveless church. We've dealt with Smyrna, the persecuted church. It was a persecuted church. And last week we dealt with Pergamos, which was the compromising church. So this morning we're going to look at Thyatira, which is the corrupt church. Father, I pray that indeed may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. That indeed, as I just read, that he who has a hear, they will listen to what the Spirit says to the church. Speak now, dear God, that we might hear. And as we hear, Let us not just be hearers, but enable us by your Holy Spirit, dear God, to be doers of the word of God. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. Amen. The corrupt church, Thyatira, the corrupt church. I'm just going to kind of dive right on in with this church in Thyatira. Jesus opens up this letter to this church, to our church this morning. He opens up by describing himself by having eyes like a flame of fire. Eyes like a flame of fire. Really meaning that Jesus is all seeing. Means that Jesus is omniscient. He's all knowing. He sees all and he knows all. The Lord Jesus Christ, this is his church. He knows all. His eyes are like a flame of fire. He sees your heart. Sees my heart, sees our mind, sees our thoughts. He knows all things. He is omniscient. That's a quality of deity, of course. He is God the Son. He is omniscient. Also, the text says he has feet like fine brass, which literally means, excuse me, Jesus is going to trample his enemies. Jesus is the reigning and victorious king. He's going to trample all of his enemies. Romans 16 tells us that one day soon Christ will crush Satan under our feet. How many of y'all know we're on the winning side? We serve a victorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Five people know that. All right. Five people know that. He's a victorious king. He conquered death. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again, came back to life with all power in his hand. I'm glad I'm on his side. I'm glad he pulled me out of darkness into his marvelous light. So his feet are like fine brass. And Jesus, as he addresses this church, much like he did in the previous churches, he first commends them. He tells them what they're doing right. Any church that's a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ gonna be doing some stuff right. I see any church that belongs to Jesus Christ, they're going to be doing some things right if they belong to Christ. So this church, he tells them, he says, hey, I know your works. I've seen what you're doing. I know your love. I know your service. I know your faith. I know your patience. He says, as a matter of fact, the work y'all doing now are greater than what y'all were doing at first. He said, y'all doing a lot of good works. He said, I know your works. That should bring us some comfort here as well as maybe some consternation. The fact that Jesus knows our works. He knows what we are doing. He knows what we are thinking. And once again, he knows all things. Jesus said, I know your works. Y'all got some good works, church at Thyatira, First Baptist Church at Thyatira, we'll call it that. He said, I know you all's works. I know your works. Y'all doing some good stuff. But then he says, nevertheless. He says, but, Brother Joe, he says, but, I got something against you. It's a frightening and a terrifying thing when the Lord Jesus Christ says, I have something against you. I have something against you. He says, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, this is verse 20, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Jesus said, this is going on in the church. This lady who name probably wasn't literally Jezebel, but she was a Jezebel-like type of character. If I have any Bible readers in the house, the Old Testament lady by the name of Jezebel, she was full of wickedness. Jezebel, you can find and read about her in 2 Kings. She was full of wickedness. Matter of fact, she married King Ahab, who was a king of the Jews, and she led him and led others into idol worship, mainly the prophet Baal and other Baal, the false god of Baal. And so Jesus says, y'all got a Jezebel-like type of character right there in the church. And she's doing some horrific things. As a matter of fact, the text is very, very clear, very graphic. Jesus, she is literally leading you all into sexual immorality. She's leading you all into idolatry. How many of y'all know a lot of times today in the 21st century church, if we're not careful, all kind of worldly stuff will creep up into the church. We were talking about it in the discipleship class this morning, how we as Christians are told to kind of almost embrace and tolerate any and everything. No, the devil is a lie. We should go with what the Bible says is true, and what the Bible says is sin. We should still call it sin. Don't call it an alternative lifestyle or a choice or just a mistake. No, call it sin. If it's sin, call it sin. That goes for others and for us too. If it's sin, call it sin. Call a spade, as they say. So Jesus said, I got this against you all. You all allowing this Jezebel type of character to come into the church and lead my people, Jesus said, into sexual immorality. Now Jesus is very serious about when those who cause people to stumble or lead people into sin. Jesus is very serious about that. I'm going to give you a couple quotes from the lips of our Lord and Savior in just a moment. But this lady, this Jezebel type of character, we're not really sure exactly what type of heresy, because see, once again, these are literal churches. These are churches that really did exist, and these are literal congregations. This is not symbolic. This is not a church kind of like that. It was really a church in Thyatira that was putting up with this type of stuff. And so we're not really sure exactly what heresy this lady was leading them to, but we do know that whatever heresy it was leading them into sexual immorality, and they were thinking it was okay. It was okay to commit adultery. It was okay to fornicate. It was okay to be homo, be gay. It was okay to do those things. It was okay to worship idols. She was leading them into that. So there were a couple of things that she could have been doing. One was this heresy it's called dualism. Dualism. Some of y'all might have heard of it. It's called dualism. And this was a teaching years ago that was kind of popular that stated that the spirit is good and the flesh is evil. And since God is only interested in the spirit, it really doesn't matter what you do with the flesh, what you do with your body, because God is not really interested in that anyway. Wrong, false. That's false. God is concerned with all of us, spirit, mind, body, and soul. He's concerned with all of you. All of you, if you believe in trichotomy or dichotomy, whichever one, he believes in all of the total man, mind, body, spirit, and soul. But some people taught that since the spirit was only what God was interested in, you can do whatever you want to with your body. Kind of like that old axiom, it's your thing, do what you want to do, I can't tell you who to sock it to. Now some of y'all remember that song from way back in the 60s or 70s. Another thing she might have been teaching might have been something that we call cheap, quote unquote, cheap grace, cheap grace. It goes something like this. Since God is a God of grace, Brother Steve, he's a God of grace, that you can just go out and sin all you want to because he has grace to cover it. Wrong again. False again. Matter of fact, Paul had to address that over in Romans, around Romans 6 or so, chapter 6 or so, when Paul was talking about grace. We know God is a God of grace, one of his attributes. And Paul anticipated a question. He said, well, what should I say then? Should I sin more that grace may abound all the more? Paul said, may it never be. God forbid. No, just because we serve a God of grace, I mean, you want to go and see how far you can take his grace and mercy. Now, if anything, once you begin to recognize and really begin to crystallize the grace of God and mercy of God, how he has saved us and what he has done for us, if anything, it makes you want to live more holy. If anything, it makes you want to live more for Jesus, because all of he has forgiven us for already in the past. It shouldn't make you want to go sin some more. So perhaps this lady was teaching that. Or maybe she could have been teaching something like kind of like this, just really enticing the church to sin more, to experience the deep things of Satan, more sin, so they can be a better witness to those who are unsaved and showing up sinning. Now, what kind of sense does that make? Go commit some more, whatever type of sin. Go get drunk some more so that you may go down and witness to those who are getting drunk too. Duh. That make much sense to me, but you know. But she could have been doing any of those type of teachings, or maybe a combination of those types of teachings. But whatever she was doing, she was leading the church of the Lord Jesus Christ into sexual immorality and into idolatry. And Jesus was upset about it. Matter of fact, Jesus says this in Matthew 18, verse 6. Let's give you some Bible reading this week. Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. This is what Jesus says. Jesus said, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Jesus said, rather than for me or you to lead some young person someone who has put their faith in Christ to lead them to sin, Jesus said it would have been better for us to go put a big block of a cement block around our neck and go jump off in the Tennessee River somewhere and drown ourselves. Jesus said, I'm serious about those of you who lead people into sin. That's how many of us, as we grow in grace and as we mature in the faith, we have a high calling to set the right type of standard for those younger, more immature Christians. We have a high calling to set a standard for those who are not even in Christ yet. When you grow in grace, you're supposed to be more like Jesus. You and I are supposed to be more holy. I pray that we're more holy today than we were last week or last month or last year or definitely 5 years ago. We should be growing in grace. We should be looking more and more like Jesus. The more time you spend with somebody, the more time you begin to pick up their habits and their traits, right? Can I get a witness? You hang around the wrong crowd, you're going to pick up some wrong stuff. Young people, y'all listen. You hang around the wrong crowd, you're going to pick up some wrong stuff. You need to be careful who you hang with on a regular basis. Yeah, we're supposed to reach out to everybody, but we got to be careful who you hang with. Because you can't be saying, well, I know they cuss all the time. I'm going to hang out with them all the time. Next thing you know, you're going to be cussing. Let me say that again. You hang out with them all along, and the next thing you know, you're going to be cussing. You got to be careful who you roll with, who you run with. I remember my parents used to tell me that all the time. I didn't really understand it back then, but I understand it now. Even as a pastor, as a preacher, you know, I love preachers, I love pastors, but you ain't going to see me running with just every preacher and pastor in town. I'm going to leave that alone, I'm going to move on, but you ain't going to be just running with everybody. You got to be careful who you run with. You got to be careful the company that you keep. Yes, reach out to all. Yes, try to reach all, but be careful who you run with. Now, this lady, second out of 2 Kings 9, as I mentioned earlier, this Jezebel, this really happened to this actual character by the name of Jezebel. Once again, let me show you how God, how Jesus are really serious about people who lead his people astray. This was prophesied that it would happen to her. And let me just give you the high level version of this. 2 Kings chapter 9 verse 30 describes the death of this Old Testament character by the name of Jezebel, who Jesus compared this New Testament character out of Thyatira to her. This brother by the name of Jehu saw her up on a high place one day, and he told two or three Enochs who were up there, he told them to throw her down, this Jezebel character. So they threw her down, and some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses. And he trampled her, Jehu did, trampled her underfoot. And then he went on, if you read that, he went on and went on in and got something to eat and got something to drink. And then he kind of thought about it. He said, well, she was a queen. She was married to King Ahab. Go now and see this accursed woman and bury her. So they went, verse 35 of 2 Kings 9. They went to bury her. Watch this. Listen to this. They found no more of her than her skull, her feet, and the palms of her hands. So basically her body was splattered out everywhere. See, God does not take, he does not take lightly to this thing we call sin. He does not take lightly those who lead others into sin. So we got to be careful even as we walk this Christian walk. Well, you know, everybody got to make their own thing. They got to do what they're supposed to. Well, now, are you helping a person grow closer to the Lord, or are you moving a person away from the Lord? We should be able to say, when I'm around a certain person, around a certain group, I'm leading them toward the Lord. I'm leading them to be more like Jesus. Paul said, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. So Jesus was upset with this church because they were tolerating this Jezebel lady that was leading his people into sexual sin, into idolatry. Listen to what he says in verse 21. He even says, listen to what he says. He says, I have given her and I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality. And she did not repent. Great side note here. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ gives us time to repent? Aren't you glad he doesn't wipe us out when we mess up one time? About one third of y'all are glad. The rest of y'all are catching on the way home, I guess. I'm glad that Jesus gives me time to repent. I'm glad that he gives me time to confess my sins. And Lord, forgive me for saying that, for doing that, or thinking that. He gives us time to repent. He gives us time to repent. Nobody will be able to shake their fist from the flame and pits of hell and say, I did not have time. I didn't have a chance to repent. Now God gives us time. Jesus gives us time. No Christian will be able to say, well, Lord, he was unfair to me. He, you know, I messed up one time and he came and got me. No, God gives us time to repent. He is slow to anger. He's full of loving kindness. Our God is slow to anger. Matter of fact, when Moses asked God to show me yourself, describe more of yourself to me, that's one of the things God came out saying. Say, I'm the Lord thy God, full of loving kindness, slow to anger. So Jesus gives this, the Lord is much better. Yeah, I tell you what, if we had somebody in love fellowship like that, I don't know if I'd give them time to repent. Just run them on up out of here. But Jesus gives them time. He said, I've given her time to repent. I've given her time to repent. And I'm glad that the Lord gives us time to repent. See, look, if the Holy Spirit, even right now, if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you on a particular sin, even right now, don't procrastinate. You don't even wait to the end of this sermon. Go ahead and confess it. Go ahead and repent of it now. I mean, go ahead and repent of it now. You know, just like we said, today is a day of salvation, and that's true. Today is a time to repent. Today is the time to confess and remove those sins out of your life that might have kind of built up in your life. Jesus gives us time to repent. Go ahead, confess it, repent of it, and move on. Sometimes as a Christian, sometimes we might confess something, but then we sit there and wallow in and beat ourselves up all day and next day and the next day and the next day. If you truly repented, if God has forgiven you of it, go ahead and forgive yourself and move on. Deal with it better the next time. God, he's not willing that any should perish. But don't count his slowness. Don't count his slowness as a license to do your own thing. God is patient. He's long suffering. But don't be saying, well, no, I've been doing it and I've been getting away with it. And he ain't got me yet. No, if it's something that's displeasing to God, if it's a sin, I promise you, God will get you. You reap what you sow. I said, you reap what you sow. So God says, Jesus says, come clean. He says, I've given you time to repent. Look at verse 22. Indeed, I will cast her. Because he gave her time to repent, but she didn't repent. He said, indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Unless, here it is again, unless they repent of their deeds. So it's almost like Jesus saying, okay, I'm giving her time to repent. This lady, this a real lady who was in the church at Thyatira, this Jezebel type of character. Jesus, I'm giving her time to repent, but it seems as though she doesn't want to repent. But even those who have joined her in sin with her, I'm giving them time to repent too. And if they repent, I won't take them out. I'm going to show them much grace, much mercy if they repent. But if they don't repent, he said, I'm going to cast them into great tribulation. There could be several things there. If you're looking at it kind of from eschatology, from that point of view, it could even mean the tribulation of the end days, that type of thing. Or even like now in a present day application, the Lord said, if you don't repent of your sin, I'm going to send some stuff your way. I'm going to send some tribulation your way. I'm going to allow, how many of y'all know as a Christian, the Bible says he disciplines those whom he loves. One of the litmus tests of a person if they're genuinely born again is how you relate to sin. As a Christian, we're really capable of doing any sin that anybody else can do on planet Earth. As a Christian. But I promise you, as a Christian, whatever that sin might be, when you do it or when I do it, we're not just at ease in Zion with sin. We would get convicted. We would say, man, that was wrong. That was bad. And then not only that, the Lord would come himself and he would tighten up that behind. I started to be real theatrical and pull off my belt and just start whipping the belt. But the Lord would tear up that behind. If you belong to Jesus, you're not able to do just anything anybody else can do. If you belong to Jesus, here's a standard right here is holiness. So when you and I are missing holiness, when we're in sin, he will convict us. He will discipline us. The Bible says he disciplines those whom he loves. He disciplines those whom he loves. So a person just can do any kind of old thing and still talking about they still a Christian and all that. I said, all right. You know, I mean, I don't judge your heart perfectly, but I know my Bible says when the Christian, when we get out of line, I know what I've experienced. When we get out of line, God will whip that behind. You can't just live any kind of old way as a Christian. And be comfortable in it. If you're comfortable with sin, something is wrong somewhere. I said, if you're comfortable in sin, something is wrong somewhere. But the Lord said, I've given them time to repent. And he said, if they just repent, you know, if they don't repent, I'm going to send them tribulation. But then he also mentions about how if the lady, if she doesn't repent, he talks about how, in the next verse, he said, I will kill her children. And even before that, he said, I'm going to put her on a sick bed. That sick bed could mean either death and or hell itself. If this lady just kept on doing what she was doing and didn't repent and just kept on going, the Lord said, I will put her on a sick bed, which once again could mean literally death itself or even worse, hell. But y'all know, let me just say this parenthetically to make sure I'm clear in my preaching this morning. There are people inside the physical building this morning, perhaps even people in churches all over this city, all over this state, all over this nation, all over this world, people who are in the building, but still end up in hell. So just because you come to the building, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here this morning. I am glad you're here this morning. This is better than a lot of other places you could be. But just because you're in the building doesn't necessarily mean that you're in the house. Just because you're in the building doesn't necessarily mean you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I was in and out of church for about 30 years and on my way to hell. I grew up in the church, grew up in a Christian family. Didn't know Jesus personally. Knew just enough to be scared of him, kind of. But not enough to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, who was a very religious man, who knew the scriptures. He came to Jesus by night in John 3. And Jesus said, "Boy, before he even got his first sentence out, Jesus said, you need to be born again." So, beloved, church membership, church works, those things should be a byproduct of salvation. But those things don't necessarily mean that you're in Christ. You must be born again. Confess that you are a sinner. Repent. Turn from sin. Turn to Christ. Put your faith in him and him alone. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's not Jesus plus a bunch of other stuff. Now, Ephesians 2:10, once we get saved, we're supposed to do a bunch of other stuff. But it's not Jesus, oh, plus I got to get baptized. It's not Jesus, oh, I better make sure I sing in the choir. It's not Jesus, oh, plus I better make sure I preach. It's Jesus Christ and him alone. It's him and him alone that we have salvation. It's him and him alone that we are made right with God. When I cried out in 92 to God, I said, God, save me. That's all I said. I said, God, save me. I'm a sinner. I'm undone. I need Jesus. And just like we need Jesus for salvation, we also need Jesus for sanctification. I need him every day. I said, I need him every day. Jesus, keep me near the cross. I need him every day. Because if we profess Christ, we need to be living like him, right? So here it is, this church, this corrupt church. Pray that would never be said of Love Fellowship. This corrupt church had this lady leading people into sexual immorality, leading people into idolatry. And it seemingly, much of the church was cool with it. That's really the guilty part of many times in the church. Is maybe not necessarily a lot of people doing a lot of bad stuff. Sometimes we just let a few people do some bad stuff. And don't say anything about it. Just look the other way. Come on now, all of us have been guilty at one time or another. Well, you know, that's brother or sister so-and-so. I ain't going to say nothing to them about it. No, Matthew 18, God said, if anybody's in sin, if you got knowledge against a brother, go to him. Galatians 6:1 says, if anybody's in sin, you who are spiritual, go to him to restore that brother, to restore that sister. Am I in the book? So Jesus says, I'm going to throw you on your sick bed. Now look, turn with me real quickly. I'm going to have you turn twice this morning. Turn with me real quickly. You can keep your finger in Revelation 2. We know these verses. You can probably quote them as you turn your way there. John 3:16 through John 3:19. We just kind of going Christianity 101. Is it okay this morning? Going to the basics. Christianity 101. Soteriology 101. John 3:16 through 3:19, and this once again about how God deals with sin and how he deals with salvation and how he deals with condemnation. It's very put very clearly in these few verses. I don't even have to really elaborate on them. It's pretty clear right from the scriptures. John 3:16. Matter of fact, say that one with me. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Isn't that amazing? That's a wonderful verse. God so loved you and me. He so loved us. He sent his only son that I'm glad I'm one of those whosoevers, that whosoever believes in him, in Christ, shall not go to hell, shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Oh, that's a great deal there. That's a great deal there. God so loved us. God demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait until we got it right. He didn't wait until we started running after him. While we were yet messing up, Christ died for us. Worthy is the Lamb of God who was slain even before the foundation of the world. Oh, who wouldn't want to serve a God like that? Who loved us so much, he sent his only begotten son. And Jesus loved you and me so much, he came. He who was rich, who was in heaven, lavished in heaven. He was a king. He came and yet came and got in the womb of Mary. Born of a virgin, not even any room in the inn. Grew up like a regular person like you and me. All God, yet all man. Philippians 2. Yeah, he humbled himself until he was obedient unto death. Even death on the cross. Christ did that. God the Son. I think it was C.S. Lewis who wrote that for us to kind of even just somewhat try to kind of get that our mind around that whole, you know, the deity of Christ, yet humanity of Christ. Think about maybe a person, me or you, maybe becoming a worm or a slug or something. He said, if you kind of put that in your mind a little bit, that somewhat kind of let you think about God, Christ, God the Son, coming and being a man. Yet still being God. So God loved us so much, he sent his son Jesus to die for us. In verse 17 of John 3 says, for God did not, somebody say did not. He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through Christ, might be saved. We serve an evangelistic God. It's good we had the world changers here with us today, and they're going, being all over Chattanooga. It's about, it's a lot of them, not just these 10 or 12, but they got people all over Chattanooga going to be working on houses and doing those things, showing the love of God, the love of Christ. And God is going to be using them and using their leaders to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God so loves us. He runs us down. He sent his son, the hounds of heaven, some people call. He tracked us down when we were in our sin. God himself ran us down and arrested us. I'm glad he called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. He ran me down. He ran you down. And so he's called us to do a similar thing, to go tell others about this God who loved them so much that he sent his son to die for us. Let us never go tired of that basic fundamental truth. John 3:16. God didn't send Jesus into the world to just condemn the world, but that the world through him, and we know the world won't get saved. We know many do reject, but we are told to go and plant and water seeds, and God gives the increase. Then it says in verse 18, he who believes in him believes in Christ. If you believe in Christ, you got your faith and trust in Christ. He is not condemned. That person is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I won't stay here long, but you know, most mornings when I come to church, I ride by that little hall down the street, the Jehovah Witness Hall. And you know, man, I tell you, oftentimes I have all different type of emotions. Sometimes I have anger. Sometimes I have remorse and regret. But all I'm here to say this morning is I'm glad that I know that Jesus Christ sent his son, Jesus Christ came and died. They can say what all they want to. Oh, he's just a man. Oh, he's just a so-and-so. Oh, he this and that. All right. End up in hell. He is Jesus. He is the savior of the world. The Muslims, the Buddhists, all the mother boys, they can have their little saviors, all they want to. I'm sticking with Jesus. I'm sticking with, it was Jesus yesterday, it's Jesus today, it'll be Jesus tomorrow. I'm sticking with Jesus. I'm sticking with the one who died and laid in the grave and got up with all power. And I'm sticking with Jesus. Y'all can go in and miss all you want to. I'm sticking with Jesus. He's the one that's changed my life. You can sell some more bean pies, you can sell some more farmer calls, whatever you got to do. I'm sticking with Jesus. I'm sticking with Jesus. And I mean that. I'm sticking with Jesus. I have a cousin, a first cousin, grew up in the Christian church and everything, first cousin. But he's very, very smart. Sometimes you can be too smart for your own good. He got about 3 master's degrees, and I was talking to my nephew about him just the other day, and he grew up in a Christian church, grew up in a Christian home, but somehow he's gotten so smart that this little Christian faith is not enough for him, I guess. And my cousin said he literally saw him down in Southern Arkansas on the side of the road selling some final calls. I said, man, we need to be praying. His name is Steve. We need to be praying for Steve. Somehow he's lost his way. I'm sticking with Jesus. I'm sticking with Jesus. Then verse 18, I'm almost through with John. We'll go back to Revelation and say, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So once you want to see where people stand, I know this is Christianity 101, but just ask them. A lot of people talk about God. A lot of people talk about, oh yeah, this and that. And just ask them, where do they stand with Jesus? Ask them, what are their thoughts about Jesus? And then just begin to listen. You'll hear all kind of stuff. Verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation. Here it is. Here it is. That the light, I mean, now that Jesus is the light, right? That the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now, the Bible is just true. I mean, it's true. It doesn't even matter. I don't have to prop up the Bible. The Bible is true. But when I read verses like this, I said, man, the Bible is so true. So I'm going to ask for about three or four witnesses. You don't have to raise your hand or nothing. But when you were in darkness, didn't you love darkness just more than the light? When I was in darkness, I loved the darkness more than the light. Thank God for penetrating the darkness, my dark heart, and showing me the light of Christ. And now I love the light much more than darkness. I said, now I love the light much more than darkness. You can see good in the light. When you're walking around in dark, you be bumping your head, bumping your toe, running into stuff, doing all kind of crazy stuff. But when I got the light, I can see. And y'all know y'all pastor can't halfway see, so I need some light. These contacts and glasses, I need some light. I'm glad I'm in the light. I can see clearly now. Back to Revelation 2. But people love darkness. That's why, beloved, when we sharing with those who are in darkness, you know, don't be too thrown off when they don't want to hear about our Jesus. Just pray for them and look for other opportunities because people love darkness. The light came into the world, but people say, I'd rather stay in my darkness. And once again, don't be so baffled. Just look back to when you were in darkness. I told y'all how one time when I was in darkness, this brother who used to come by and share Christ with me all the time, great brother, I loved him to death. And I'm still in my darkness, though, and I saw him, we were up by Zayers, where Zayers used to be up from downtown, and he was going to play his light bill, and I'm in my car, and I saw him, but I was in darkness, he was in light, and this is what I did, I've told y'all this before, I hid down in my car. I was like, I hope he don't see me. I don't want to see no light. True story. I'm glad God came and got me up out that car, though. He didn't let me hide too much longer. We love darkness. If you're in darkness, you love darkness. Once you come into the light, you begin to love the light. Right? Back to Revelation. Jesus even says those who had committed adultery, those who were given an opportunity to repent, those who did not, the Lord was going to send them great tribulation. I read that earlier, just kind of reemphasizing that. That's why, once again, as a Christian, you got to be quick to repent and confess your sins. Don't wallow around. You got to have radical and quick repentance and confession of sin. In other words, don't play footsies with sin. Don't play around with it. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. I better say that again. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. As a Christian, we can't be playing footsies with the world, footsies with sin. Sin, it thrills and then it kills. It fascinates. And then it assassinates. Sin don't take any prisons. And as a Christian, the enemy, the devil loves to try to catch you up in some sinful stuff. The world, the devil, the flesh, they come hard against the Christian. When I was in darkness, just hanging around, Brother Rodney, hey, I didn't have much problem with the devil. I guess he said I was on his team then, I guess. I don't know. But once you take a stand for Christ, young people and us older people, once you take a stand for Jesus, don't think stuff gonna get all better all of a sudden. Yeah, your eternal destination is given, yes. But life here on earth gets rough oftentimes. Especially young people. You know, I'm on high school campuses every now and then and dealing with young people every now and then. You know, just a lot of young people it's just kind of a microcosm of the world, I guess. If you're at your high school and you're living for Jesus, you're not going to look around and see a whole bunch of other folks living for Jesus. You're not. Now, there will be some. God always raises up witnesses. There are going to be some. But the Bible said, wide is the road that leads to destruction. Many are on that road. Narrow is the way that leads to the Lord. And few are on it. So even in my Christian walk, when I look around, there's a bunch of folks around. I'm like, make sure, am I in the right place? Am I on the wrong road? Right road or wrong road? But even as we travel this path, though, even just, watch this. One time Paul felt abandoned. Paul said, all have forsaken me. None stood with me. But then he said, wait a minute. But the Lord stood with me. The Lord Jesus Christ stood with me. So Christ is always going to be standing with you. And he'll send some right people by your path from time to time. He'll send somebody to encourage your heart. He'll send somebody to say, well, hang in there, sister. Hang in there, brother. But it's not going to be a big crowd. When I look into heaven, though, it's going to end up being a big crowd in heaven. There's going to be a lot of folks in hell, too. But they're going to be, John said, I saw a number in heaven. I could not count people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue. It's like all kind of folks praising the Lord. So if nothing else, you ought to rejoice that you're in that number. If you saved, you ought to say, I'm in that number, John. You saw me. You saw me up there somewhere. Verse 23, Jesus goes on as I hasten on. He says, I will kill her children. See, this is not the little baby in the manger that people like to try to keep Jesus. Jesus, I will kill her children. Jesus is serious about his church. He's serious about you. He's serious about me. Jesus, I will kill her children, the children of this Jezebel character. I will kill her children with death, and all the other churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Jesus says a lot in that one verse. That's almost a sermon in and of itself. First of all, he talks about I will kill her children. This church was roughly about 40 years old, this church at Thyatira. And so this Jezebel type of teaching had possibly been in this church for a period of time. So almost maybe not just the first, or maybe even the second generation. So when he talks about I will kill her children, he's probably not talking about necessarily physically her children, but those who followed her teaching. See, if a type of teaching comes into a church or comes into your heart and mind, it's wrong, and it'll lead you astray. And next week, next month, next year, next 2 years, next thing you know, it'll lead a whole bunch of people astray. And so there will be children of that teaching. Y'all with me? So Jesus said, hey, this type of teaching, I don't like this type of teaching, leading my people into sexual immorality, leading my people into idolatry. And Jesus, I would literally kill her children. We got some biblical precedents here. This is not nothing new. Ananias and Sapphira. Over in Acts chapter 5, the early birth of the new church, the church was going good. Stuff was really going good. People were getting saved. Everything was just going good. And here come Ananias and Sapphira, come up into the church house, lying to God and lying to the Holy Spirit. And God said, no, Jesus said, no, I'm not having that. Struck down one day, they drugged them out. Then the other one came up later on. They didn't hear, I guess. They didn't get the news. They didn't have texting and all that stuff back then. They didn't get the report. And struck the other one down dead. I said, that was the beginning of church discipline. God doesn't play. I mean, God is, yes, he's a God of love. Yes, he's a God of, he's a patient God. Yes, but he's a God of wrath and he's a God of justice. And we got to look at the whole totality of who God is. Sometimes we just don't take one little part of it. Well, yeah, I love the God. It's kind of like, the Father up in heaven, just chilling. But no, you got to take all of God. He's the same God that told Moses when Moses approached him in the burning bush. God said, hold up, Moses. Take off your shoes, for the ground you stand on is holy ground. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's an awesome God. And I don't know about you. I'm glad that he's my Father. I'm glad that he sent his son Jesus for me. I'm glad that his spirit is inside of me. But Jesus said, I'm gonna take him out. And in doing that, other people would know that, hey, I'm the one who searches the heart and mind. I'm the one who's all knowing. Remember, he opened up by saying, I have eyes like a flame of fire. He said, I'm the one that's looking piercingly at his church, at Love Fellowship, at your life, at my life. Christ looks at our lives. And once again, when he finds something wrong, he gives us time to repent. He gives us time to confess. He gives us time to get it right. Listen to what he says in verse 24. So he commended them initially, and then he's given some really harsh language, but words that need to be heard because his church was off kilter. This church was, and once again, the church belongs to Jesus. This is not my church. This is, it's not even Love Fellowship's church. This is Jesus' church. Amen. Let me say that one more time. This church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't go to the cross. I didn't die on the cross. Jesus died for this church. He died for me and you. And so this is his church, so he can address it however he sees fit. So after he addressed them sternly, then listen to what he says in verse 24, some comforting words in verse 24. Jesus is so awesome. He's perfect with everything he does. And so it wasn't like this whole church, everybody in the church was messed up. But listen to what Jesus said. He said, now to you, I say, Sister Kiara, he said, I say to you and to the rest in Thyatira, the rest in this church, as many who do not have this doctrine. He's saying this, sir. He said, some of you are, I know y'all not listening to this Jezebel stuff. Y'all not going the way of sexual immorality. Y'all not going the way of idolatry. This is what I say to you, to those who have not known the depths of Satan. As they say, I will put on you no other burden. Jesus said, okay, y'all holding fast. Y'all dealing with this Jezebel mess and all this crazy foolishness. So I'm not going to put on you all any more burden. He said, see, I'm really, matter of fact, I'm coming to you all's aid, to you all rescue. He said, I'm not going to lay on you any more burden. How many of y'all are glad that Jesus knows just how much we can bear? He knows, you know, we're carrying a burden, if you will. He said, all right, I'm not going to put any more on you. That's all that you can handle. Matter of fact, enough is on you that you know you got to turn to me to help you get through it. I disagree with people. I'm saying, well, he don't ever put on you more than you can handle. Well, no, he really does. He puts more on us than we can handle. He puts more on me than I can handle. So that reminds me, I got to go to him. I need some help. Hey, he's a heavy load sharer. He's a burden bearer. And this stuff is wearing me out. But I know I got some help. And his name is Jesus. I got some help. He can help me carry these loads, these burdens. Matter of fact, he said, take up on you my yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So when we weigh it all down, saints, it's probably because we're trying to handle all this stuff on our own. You better call on the name of Jesus. You better call on the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, help me. Because I'm sinking. Anybody ever been sinking? As a Christian, I'm talking about sinking. Call on the Lord. Peter, he was sinking when he jumped out of the ship. You know, he was okay as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But then he started to sink. Jesus, oh, you a little faith. But then Jesus picked him right on up. Picked him right on up. Verse 25 says, I'm almost through. Verse 25. But hold fast, Jesus says, what you have till I come. Hold fast what you have till I come. 1 Corinthians 15:58, write that down. I'll just read it to you. 1 Corinthians 15:58. You know it even as I begin to read it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. This is for the Christian now. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let me read that one again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Hang in there, knowing that your labor is not vain in the Lord. Now, sometimes, if any Christian want to be honest just with me, sometimes you're out here doing whatever you're supposed to be doing, trying to do the right thing. You say, man, I'm just doing all this. My labor's in vain. Nothing good is happening. The Lord don't even notice. No, Lord said, hang on in there. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For your work in the Lord is never in vain. Even though sometimes it looks that way sometimes. And I think God uses that sometimes to keep us humble. And, you know, sometimes we saw the quote unquote, maybe good stuff that comes out of the work that we do for the Lord. We get kind of prideful and arrogant probably. Yeah, here it is for the preachers. Yeah, I preached the other day, man, 100 people got saved. Man, you know, if one gets saved, it's the Lord. If 100 gets saved, it's the Lord. But hang in there. Don't grow weary in well-doing. That's what Jesus says this morning to the saint. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Even in the midst of some tough stuff that was going on, especially in this church here. And then he goes on and he says, and he who overcomes. And let me say this. Anybody who's in Christ, anybody who's born again, if you're a Christian this morning, we are overcomers. We're overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We are overcomers because we're in him and he's in us. We don't overcome because of our own strength, our own whatever. We don't overcome because we're with him. So he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. Basically, Jesus is saying, keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on doing the right thing. And once again, if you overcome, it's because you're in Christ. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Then Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So as a Christian, we know we overcome because we're in Christ and he's in us. I love the verse once again. It says we've overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of the saints it talks about. Colossians 3 talks about it. Romans 8 talks about it. On and on and on. It talks about how the Christian, we are overcomers. We are overcomers. And so Jesus gives us this promise. Really, he says that you're going to receive power over the nations right there in verse 26 and 27. Some people may kind of debate the timing on this, but many believe this was during Jesus' 1,000-year reign on earth after the rapture and the 7-year tribulation during his millennial reign. It's as if Christ is saying, y'all just hang there, then I'm going to let y'all rule with me. Y'all gonna rule with me. You know, when we were before Christ, one of his great accolades, he said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, you've been faithful over a few things. I'm gonna make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your master. So I don't really know what all that looks like, but as a faithful follower of Christ, one day you and I will be given some responsibilities. We're not gonna be in heaven just cruising around on those clouds with a harp and all that stuff like you see some of these pictures. No, we're gonna be doing some type of work. But it'll be joyous work, pleasurable work. You know, I don't know what all it's going to look like, but as long as I'm there with Jesus, as long as I'm there with God, whatever else is just thrown in, that's good, you know, whatever. So Jesus said, just hang in there and I'm going to give you all, let y'all rule with me. And then he even talks about in verse 29, he said, I will give him the morning star. That's one of the names for Jesus, the morning star. He said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. When we read things like this, saints, we don't need to just read it, close our Bibles, say, okay, we're rolling on. Now we want to make sure that we don't get led astray by some crazy teaching or some crazy person lead us off track, not doing what God would have us to do. And this morning star, quick recap, that is a name for Jesus, one of his names. Also, just from this morning, this letter reveals, if you're taking notes real quickly, it reveals the seriousness of practicing and tolerating sin. The seriousness of practicing and tolerating sin. God judges continued unrepentant sin in the church and in your life. God will judge that. Now, the flip side of that, another thing that we've seen from today's text, a pattern or a lifestyle of obedience marks a true Christian. A lifestyle of obedience marks a true Christian. There will be some evidence, some fruit coming out of your life or my life that, hey, we follow Christ. There should be something distinctly different in your life than, say, in a life to a person who does not. It shouldn't be kind of blurred or a gray area. If you say you follow Christ and the person doesn't follow Christ, there's going to be a difference. I said, there's going to be a difference. Also, God gives a promise to his people that in spite of their struggles with sin and error in this church, they're going to experience the fullness of Christ, the ones who will faithfully follow him, and they're going to even reign with him and in his kingdom. But for those in a church like Thyatira, or those in a situation like some of these people in Thyatira who fail to heed the message, we'll receive divine judgment. So once again, it's just two sides to the coin. Either following Christ, receiving his blessings, or reject Christ and receive judgment. Matter of fact, oftentimes, I have to believe, even as we go through these churches, you know, some churches that dwindle down to nothing and basically still just seems like I just can't quite process it mentally. They basically go out of business. And I can't help but to see maybe that's God, Christ had given them time to get certain things right, but they decided not to for whatever reason. And Jesus said, okay, I'm removing my lampstand. I'm no longer, you might still have church on the sign, but I'm no longer there. And eventually many of those places just go out of business. So let that never be said of Love Fellowship. We want to always be a place where we hold up the bloodstained banner of Christ, and we always amplify and point people to Jesus Christ. Jesus, again, as I close, he gives us one of his names, the Morning Star. He has some other names. He is the Morning Star, but also he's an advocate with the Father. Also, he's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Ancient of Days. He's an apostle and high priest of our faith. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus, he's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, he is the righteous branch. He's the bread of life. He's our bridegroom. He's the anointed one. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the dayspring from on high. He's our deliverer. He's our deliverer. He's our deliverer. He's our deliverer. He's our savior. He's the desire of all nations. He's the door of the sheep. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's faithful and true. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's a sure foundation. I say anybody know him as a sure foundation? He's a sure foundation. He's a friend of publicans and sinners. How many of y'all glad that he was a friend of publicans and sinners? He's the only wise God, our Savior. He's the head of the body, the church. Yes, Jesus is the head. He's the CEO, the COO, the CFO, the anything else you want to put in there. He is that. He's the head of all principality and power. He's the heir of all things. He's a great high priest. He's the Holy One of God. He's our hope. He's our peace. He's our joy. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's a righteous judge. Matter of fact, he's a King of Kings and he's a Lord of Lords. He's a King of the Saints. He's a King of the Jews. He's a Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world. He's our life. He's our light. He's our light. He's a light of the world. He's a lily of the valley. He's a bright and morning star. He's a Lord both of the living and the dead. He's a Lord of the harvest. He's a man of sorrows. He's a good master. He's the mediator between God and man, the man Christ. Jesus, all God, yet all man. He's the Messiah. He's the Prince. Matter of fact, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the Most Holy God. He's an offering and a sacrifice to God. He's our Passover. He's our great physician. He's a bridge over troubled water. He's a way out of no way. Anybody know him as a way out of no way? He's a resurrection and the life. He's a propitiation of our sins. He's a propitiation of our sins. He's a spiritual rock. He's our high tower. He's our sure foundation. He's the root of David. He's the root of Jesse. He's our salvation. He's our salvation. He's our salvation. He's Savior of the world. He's a God's servant. He's God's servant. He's a righteous servant. He's a shepherd and bishop of our souls. He's a great shepherd of the sheep. Matter of fact, he's a good shepherd. He's a chief shepherd. He's a son of Abraham. He's a son of David. He's a son of man. He's a son of Joseph. And yes, he's a son of God. Matter of fact, he's the only begotten son of our Father, full of grace and truth. And if you know him, you ought to just say hallelujah. If you know him, you ought to say I love you. If you know him, you ought to say I serve you. If you know him, you ought to say I'm going to bow down to you. If you know him, you ought to follow him. If you know him, you ought to worship him. If you know him, you ought to sing to him. If you know him, you ought to enjoy him. He is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tall, strong, and mighty. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who conquered death, the one who, yes, the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. Why do you seek for the living amongst the dead? He is not here. He is not here. He has risen. He has risen. He has risen. And oh, let him rise in your soul today. Let him rise in your heart today. He's the Lord strong and mighty. He's the Lord strong and mighty. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Oh, I love him. Oh, I love him. He got me out of darkness. I don't have to hide down in cars anymore, hiding from folks. He got me out of darkness. Brought me into his marvelous light. I can see much better now. I can see much better now. Stand if you can stand. He's the Lord strong and mighty.